Morning. We're glad you're here today. Thank you for coming our way. If you're visiting, especially, we thank you. We hope and pray that you'll come back. Appreciate each and everyone who is here today to worship. I do want to encourage you to stay after services for the luncheon, and then the young people are going to be practicing, I guess, sort of a trial run through for lads, but we want to encourage them, and we want to encourage you to stay and be a part of that. We'll have an abbreviated worship service at 1:30 this afternoon, so please make sure and come back for that. We are looking at Luke 19. The last several weeks, we have been looking at Luke chapter 15. And you remember Jesus told a series of parables in order to convey some divine truths to the people of that day and time. Luke tells us that at the beginning of Luke 15, that the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to Jesus so that they might hear him. On the other end of the spectrum, you had the Pharisees and the scribes. And the Bible tells us that they murmured because in their eyes, he was receiving or spending time with sinners. So it's not out of the way for Luke in his biographical account of the life of Jesus to focus on one particular man, a fellow by the name of Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. This individual, this man, had a strong, strong desire to see Jesus. In many ways, taking us back to Luke 15, there was something about Jesus that attracted people to him. Now, I would imagine that there were any number of factors involving the magnetism of Jesus. Number one, the miracles that he performed. Without question, people were intrigued. And you think about all the people that the Lord Jesus helped physically. Now, the Lord often used those physical maladies to lead to something greater, and that would be the spiritual blessings. And then that message that Jesus preached time and again, that no doubt resonated in the hearts and lives of people. I think about what John recorded in chapter 7 at verse 46, when it was said of Jesus, no man ever spoke like this man. So again, there is this magnetism. Many of us, we've been around individuals who are charismatic. There's just something about them that draws us to them. But Jesus was unlike any other being. As a matter of fact, if you look at the life of Jesus, his life was unprecedented, unparalleled in many respects. He was the divine Son of the living God. And the biographical accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, drive that point home, that Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be, the Son of God. Now, that being the case, let's just talk for a moment or two about the sinner who wanted to see the Savior. Now, we're not talking about an individual that was thought about highly by his peers, that is, by the people of his day. Now, the Bible provides a description for us of Zacchaeus. The Bible tells us that Jesus had entered and passed through Jericho. Jericho, located about 18 miles northeast of the city of Jerusalem. So the Lord is in this vicinity, and here's a fellow by the name of Zacchaeus, and he is drawn to him. Now, the Bible tells us that he was a man of power. He was a chief tax collector, not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. Not only was he a powerful, prominent man, but the Bible tells us he was a prosperous man. Luke said he was rich. Now, we might talk about how he got his riches. But nonetheless, there's a very simple description given to us of the life or the man Zacchaeus. But then the text tells us that he had this strong desire. He knew that Jesus was passing through and he wanted to see. Many of us have probably seen time and again the footage of JFK in Dallas the day he was killed. And many of us have watched that film over and over again and seen the people as they line the streets. That's often the case when dignitaries come through town. I think about sporting individuals or athletic teams when they win a championship. Sometimes they'll make their way down a very popular street in the city in which they live and work. And throngs of people are on the each side of the street cheering them on. Well, Jesus is coming that way. And Zacchaeus has a strong desire to see Jesus. He wanted to see him. Let me ask this. If the Lord Jesus Christ, let's just say that you had a tip this week and you knew Jesus was going to be coming right down Goodman Road, would you want to be there? Would you want to see? Would you want to be in his presence? Can you imagine if the Lord Jesus this coming week were to go down Goodman Road? Thousands upon thousands of people would line the road, wouldn't they? Wanting to just catch a glimpse of him. Now, here's what's interesting. Zacchaeus not only wanted to see Jesus, but he worked to see Jesus. Well, how so? Well, the Bible tells us he was a short man of short stature. And because of the crowd, you got all these people around, and Zacchaeus knows, look, if I'm going to be able to just catch a glimpse of Jesus, I've got to do something special. Text tells us that he climbed up into a sycamore tree. Now, Luke said the reason he was passing that way. Now, that's interesting. Because you have this strong desire on the part of Zacchaeus. He wants to see. The difficulty, however, the impediment to his seeing Jesus, number one, the crowd. But then you just think about what is said in our lesson text about his critics. Now the text tells us a little bit later in our study that the people of that day, they said, this man, talking about Jesus, receives sinners. Well, we didn't like that. I mean, why would he want to associate with folks like that? Now again, go back and look at Luke 15. You've got on the one hand, you've got people that were identified as sinners. Tax collectors who were in the same boat, same class of people. And they're drawing near to hear Jesus. Over in Luke chapter 7, it was said of Jesus, or rather of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ, that the tax collectors and the people, that they justified God, and the reason was because they were baptized with the baptism of John. In other words, they understood that this was something from God. And they were willing to submit to the teaching of John, to the baptism of John, to the kingdom. But now in that same text, the Bible says that the Pharisees and the lawyers, they rejected the counsel of God against themselves, not having been baptized by him. So again, on the one hand, you have the religious upper crust. You've got folks who prided themselves on their quote-unquote spirituality. And then you've got this other class of people who realize, you know what? We need all the help we can get. We need a Savior. You see, that was the problem of many of the religious leaders of Jesus' day. They failed to understand where they stood in relationship to the Messiah. Now, on the one hand, you have
a sinner who wanted to see the Savior. That was Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus. But on the other side of the coin, you have the Savior who saw the sinner. Now, that's interesting to me. Here's Zacchaeus up in this sycamore tree. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus, he's passing that way. Luke said when the Lord Jesus came to that place, he made a request of Zacchaeus. Now Luke, in his narration, said that when he came to the place, he looked up and saw him. But note, if you would, what he requested. He said, Zacchaeus, number one, he called him by name, didn't he? He didn't just say, sir, I want you to come down. Or, hey, mister, can you come down? No, he said, Zacchaeus. When you talk to people, when they call you by name, does that mean something to you? Let's just imagine that you are in the presence of a dignitary, somebody who has a lot of clout, powerful. If they were to call you by name, would that mean something? Sure it would. Why? It'd make you feel like somebody, wouldn't it? It would make you feel special. So when Jesus saw Zacchaeus, he didn't just say, hey, come down. No, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Now, let me translate that into what I call Mississippi parlance. When the Lord said, make haste and come down, for I must stay in your house, what we would say is, Zacchaeus, get down here. That's how we would say it. But what'd Zacchaeus do? Came down, didn't he? So you have the Lord requesting something of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was compliant. But there was this unmistakable request, an urgent request, if you please. Because when the Lord addressed Zacchaeus, he said, Zacchaeus, I want you to hurry up and get down. Unmistakable. When he called his name, Zacchaeus couldn't say, well, you know, he must be talking to somebody else. It was unmistakable. But the urgency of that call. Now, you think about Jesus and what Jesus means in our lives today. And the urgency of the gospel and of the Lord in our lives. I think sometimes maybe we take for granted our physical life, don't we? Sometimes we take for granted the time that we have on this side of eternity. And we fail to see the urgency of the gospel. Listen to what Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Today, not tomorrow. Today, not next month. Today, not next year. Today is a day of salvation. When Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down. I want you to come down from that tree. And let me tell you why. Because salvation has come to your house. You think those were words that Zacchaeus wanted to hear? Yes, yes, yes. A simple, profound request. But I want you to see something else. What about the reaction? What about the response of Zacchaeus? Now, look with me at the text, if you would. Look over in Luke 19 and note verse 6. Jesus has already told him to come down. He said, I must stay at your house. And the text says that he made haste, he hurried and came down. Received him joyfully. Can you imagine? The Lord saying to you, I want to come home with you. I want to be a guest in your home. Would you want to receive him into your home? Would you invite him in? Would you be comfortable with Jesus coming into your home? Think about this for a minute. Zacchaeus knew exactly where he stood in the grand scheme of things. Zacchaeus wanted to see a man that could make a difference in his life. That man was Jesus. Now, note verse 7. In verse 7, Luke tells us, but when they saw it, they all murmured. That is, they grumbled. And why was that? Because as Luke said, they said, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. My, oh my. You mean to tell me that Jesus was interested in lowly people who had a sin problem? Yes. Yes, he was. You know, when people think they know it all and have it all, you can't help them. But when people realize that they are broken, when they understand something about the bondage of sin, what sin does in the life of a person. Now, there are a lot of people in the world today, they can get inside the feelings of Zacchaeus. They know where Zacchaeus was. And why is that? Because they've been there. There are folks today that are sitting right where Zacchaeus was in the long ago, dead in sin. So you got these religious leaders, they're murmuring, they're grumbling at Jesus because how in the world could he stoop to associating with these low-life people? Well, let's just think for a moment about the response of this man. I want you to look at verse 8. The Bible says that Zacchaeus stood and he said, look, Lord. He said, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything by false accusation or if I've taken anything wrongfully, he said, I'm willing to restore it fourfold. In other words, I'm willing to make it right and then add some to it. Now that says something about Jesus. Let me tell you what it tells me about Jesus. When the Lord Jesus Christ met Zacchaeus, where he was, it was a life-altering event, the alteration of Zacchaeus. When you think about it, here is a chief tax collector, a rich man, a powerful man, and he tells the Lord Jesus Christ, look, I'm giving half of my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything wrong, I'm willing to make it right. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. Let me say this. There are a lot of folks that want to come to Christ. The problem is not in their desire to come to Christ. The problem is sometimes it's not a life-altering event. What do I mean by that? When you come to Jesus, you've got to understand where you are. Number two, you've got to understand the cost of serving the Lord. If you come to Jesus and no changes are forthcoming, then you didn't come to Jesus. Why is that? Because here's what the gospel says. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent. You got to change how you live. As Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I've got to be willing to deny self. Secondly, I've got to be willing to die to self. And quite frankly, there are a whole lot of people in our world today that are not willing to die to self. They're not willing to deny self. And as a result, they're not a fit candidate for the kingdom of God. And sadly, there are some folks. Oh, they've been baptized into Christ. They got wet. But there was no alteration in their lifestyle. If there hasn't been a change in your life, something is amiss. So you look at Zacchaeus. I mean, here's a guy that's doing whatever he can to be in the presence of Jesus. The Lord Jesus says, look, Zacchaeus, I want to be a guest in your home today. Now, Zacchaeus was elated. The text says that he received him joyfully. So, number one, there was alteration. But secondly, salvation. Look again at the text and listen to what Luke says. Pick up again in verse 8. Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything wrongfully or by false accusation, he said, I restore fourfold. And here's what Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to do what? To seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus? Did you need salvation? Yes. Now, what about you? There's something that's a common thread in the human family. The common thread is we all have something alike. Sin is the problem, isn't it? And Jesus is the answer. It's only when we come to see ourselves as we really are. Broken, bankrupt, in bondage, in need of deliverance. And that's exactly what some of the people in the first century saw in themselves. And interestingly, the people that were the most despised by the religious upper crust were the best candidates. And why was that? Because they had honest and good hearts. I want you to think about something for a minute. It doesn't matter who the teacher might be. It could be me, it could be Jared, it could be Billy, it could be D.O., it could be Carrie. Really doesn't matter. If a person doesn't have an honest and good heart, you can't help them. That's just the plain facts. You can't help them. If you don't have a heart receptive to the teaching of Jesus, then you're beyond the scope of help. Let me say this. I don't care how deep in sin you might be. And you might be like the Apostle Paul and view yourself as the chief of sinners. You may say, you just don't understand the kind of life that I've lived. You don't know anything about my background. You don't know how deep and dark and dirty my life has been in sin. That may be the case. And I don't need to know. But I can tell you this. No matter how deep you might be in the muck and mire of sin, the Lord Jesus has the power, the ability to pull you out. And that's a fact. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now you think about Zacchaeus, despised. There were folks that were critical of him. Looked down at him, just like they did Matthew and those who were associating with him. And you hear Jesus saying, look, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came for whom? The sick. And let me tell you something about those scribes and Pharisees. They forgot about mercy. They forgot about the need of the human family. And because of that, turned their backs on the Lord. So I want to close today by saying this. I would hope and pray that all of us would want to see Jesus and that we would do whatever it took to be in His presence. Now you think about a fellow like Zacchaeus that was willing to do whatever was needed to be in the presence of Jesus. Contrast that with the attitude of some who say, you know what, it's raining today, can't really make it to worship today. Or I've got this going on, got that going on, really can't be involved in the kingdom of God. Until Jesus becomes preeminent in your life, until we understand that He is priority number one, we're not ready to serve Him. We're not ready to be His disciple. But if we have a heart like Zacchaeus, the Lord can use us. He can use us in a great way. So what about you? Imagine you're living in sin and Jesus said, today, salvation has come to your house. How'd that make you feel? Special? To know that Jesus was the one who could save you. He's the one who can save you today. What would you need to do? Well, you got to repent. There has to be an alteration of character. The alteration of character is followed by salvation. That's why Peter said, repent and be baptized. When you do that, your sins are washed away, Acts 22:16. And then the goal is to be faithful, to live a life consecrated to the Lord daily. Now we serve Him today so one day we can be with Him forevermore. If you're here today and you haven't obeyed the gospel, I encourage you to come to Christ. If you're here, and let's just say, as we've been talking in the past few weeks, you've been living the life of a prodigal. And you say, you know what, today is the day of salvation. I'm going to make it right. We would love to pray with you, pray for you, to know that God will abundantly pardon. 1 John 1:9. Won't you come as we stand and sing?